Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Tell my mom and dad, when you see my baby sister, be as kind as you can. Break it to my grandma, who said the boy's wild and bad. Break it to them gently when you tell them that I won't be coming home again.
I love the way.
Country artist Gil Grand, born and raised in Sudbury, Ontario, and living in Nashville since the late 1990s, has just released a brand new song to radio called Groove. It's a light, fun, radio-friendly tune that he co-wrote with Adam Fears. Gil first found his home on the country charts with his debut single, Famous First Words. He has since remained at home on the charts and CMT with songs like Let's Start Livin', Cry a Little, Break It to Them Gently, and Spilled Perfume. My pleasure to welcome Gil Grand to the show. Hey, Gil.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing super. How are things in Nashville?
Fantastic. Things are nice here. The weather's just starting to get nice. It's starting to warm up now, finally.
Finally. I know it's the same here in Ontario. Nice to get away from the cold for a bit. Well, we've got the brand new song Groove that we're going to share on the show a bit later. I can't wait to hear all about the writing behind it. It's a great song. Let's go back in time. I found this to be a great accomplishment of yours. You won for three consecutive years the Canadian Open Country Singing Competition, and I understand not only those 3 years, but there's a plaque that states that in the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame.
I know. I'm surprised. I didn't know you were going to ask me about that, but I haven't thought about that for a number of years, because that was certainly, that takes me back to the very early years of me even just starting to sing, because a lot of other artists, I guess, early on, you know, you kind of partake in these talent shows and competitions, and you do, you know, whatever you can to be out there in front of people. And so I was just really starting out, and I'd heard about the talent show, you know, the talent competition. It was on a national level and everything. So I entered it and I won, and that was fun and exciting. And again, it was all new to me, so it kind of fed the fire, you know, and I wanted to do it again. And I was fortunate enough to win it a few times. And yeah, those are great memories.
What I also found interesting too, Gil, when I was reading your bio, you know, a lot of artists are influenced by a lot of pop, rock, along with the country. But it looks like you really have some strong country roots.
Yeah, I mean, definitely growing up, you know, in our home environment, you know, because, I mean, you're influenced by what your, you know, what your family, what your mom and dad are listening to growing up. And for them, they were just real traditional fans, of traditional country music. So to me, that's kind of what I knew. And so when I really started to fall in love with, you know, singing and playing guitar and you know, just at that time, just really starting to dabble in writing songs and stuff. I mean, naturally my influences were coming from, you know, the more traditional artists like Conway Twitty and, you know, George Jones and that sort of thing.
Those are two of my favorites because I do love the traditional stuff. And I grew up in a household as well that Conway Twitty, George Jones was played, Hank Williams. So a lot of the great traditional artists. The songs back then were obviously a lot of stories and really strong with the lyrics too.
Yes, absolutely. It seems more and more, I guess, in today's music, country music is definitely seems to be driven melodically and hook, you know, what's hooky and what's catchy, what people want to dance to and, you know, kind of sing along to in their cars and driving and stuff like that. And I think definitely, you know, if you look at country music back in the days when, you know, Tammy Wynette was writing songs and those kinds of things, it's totally story songs. They were saying something.
Right. Now, when you sit down these days to write a song, and I think you attempted this with Groove, you know, you're trying to write a fun, light song, obviously radio-friendly. Is it a different mindset than, say, when you were first writing songs around the start of your debut album? Are you trying things a bit differently?
Yeah, I think at first, I think it's important when you're starting out and you're writing songs. I was trying to form... a full picture, like who am I as an artist? And I think if you're writing songs, you can certainly contribute to that and say, well, here, this helps represent who I am as a singer and what my influences are because I'm writing songs, this is what I'm about. So I think at the beginning, you're trying to kind of get people to know who you are and to understand that. And this time around, I mean, you know, it's been several, I mean, gosh, it's been 17 years almost, I think, since the first single. So now it's more about just having fun and kind of going with a little bit more of what's current today, you know, because I think anybody who's followed my career and listened to my previous singles would think that Groove is a little different for me, you know, a little different than what I would normally do.
Definitely, and I think it's good to reinvent and do something a bit differently for the fans so they get to see a different side, hear a different side. I thought it was fascinating, too, with your music group, Grand & G Music Group in Nashville, recording studio, publishing and all that. You guys are tied to the song Chris Young, Tomorrow, which is one of my favorites, a huge hit. Number one on the charts just a few years ago, and to me, it's I guess there's something contemporary about it, but it definitely has a traditional message in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were really fortunate to celebrate a number one hit, you know, basically from a pretty new company, a publishing company. That's something that I was able to be a part of, you know, starting 2007, you know, and to kind of look at the other side of the coin and from being an artist into more of a business side of things and see what it's like to be, you know, sitting in the chair of a music publisher, you know, and working with staff songwriters that I'm overseeing and working together with and stuff. So Anthony Smith, who is a American songwriter here in Nashville, has had some, you know, great successes with some of other songs that he's written. He has had hits with Lone Star, and he wrote the Wilkinson's hit too, the girlfriend song. I can't remember what it's called.
I think Jamie's got a girlfriend.
Jamie's got a girlfriend. Yeah, he sure did write that song. So you know, while he was writing for our company, he wrote a great song for Chris Young called Tomorrow, and it was a wonderful experience to be able to celebrate a number one hit, you know, across the board like that.
Yeah, it was a great one for sure, and Chris Young is a great artist. We got lots more to talk about with you, Gil, but we're going to turn to one of your songs now. It was your last single, in fact, called Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving. What can you tell us about this song and something about the writing behind it?
Well, again, with that song, I can, you know, I'm happy to, it's not really anything that I've written that I could say is associated to my own personal life or anything like that. You know, some people write life songs about themselves and they can write those things. This was just a fun thing that I did with Josh Osborne, who's been a longtime buddy of mine and songwriter here in Tennessee. And you know, what's interesting about this young man, Josh Osborne, is that I want to point out is that I've known him for probably 12 years or so. and only in the last couple of years I've been able to see him flourish as a songwriter. You know, he just won a Grammy for the Kacey Musgraves song, so he was on the Grammys, and I watched him, and he's had all these other big successful cuts recently and everything like that.
Wow.
So I'm hoping, you know, some of the other songs in the 12 years we've known each other kind of hitch a ride with his on his success that he's having, you know. But it's nice. It's great to be able to see things like that happen to your friends and just, you know, be a part of it in the early stages. So this is a song Josh Osborne and I wrote.
Awesome. This is Gil Grand and Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving here on In the Country.
Like that, you can have any man you want, and I tell them all you're crazy, no way she'd ever walk out. But my baby knows a lot about leaving me breathless when she smiles that smile at me, leaving me needing more love and begging down on my knees, leaving a trail morning on my coffee cup, just a little reminder telling me the best is yet to come. Gave me a wink and said, when I get home, boy, you'd better watch out. Oh, my baby knows a lot about leaving me breathless when she smiles that smile at me.
And that is Gil Grand, Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving. You can check out Gil at gilgrand.com, learn more about him there, and hear some of his songs. Gil, we were talking about songs and writing songs. What about pitching songs? You're involved, obviously, on the publishing side. Can a song that is good or pretty good be made great because of the demo?
Oh, gosh, I absolutely do believe that 100%. I think... it's so competitive. If you can just even imagine how many songwriters, just in Nashville alone, every single day are getting together and writing songs. And, you know, you look at like a big company like Sony Publishing, and I don't even know how many writers they have, but it's probably more than 100 writers that they have on. You think about all of the songs. So it's very, very competitive because everybody you know, everyone can write real good songs and everything. So how do you get an edge on somebody else, and which ones get chosen to be recorded? And of course, a lot of other things go into that. Relationships are one, and you know, obviously, you need a great song. But I think you're definitely helping yourself by having a very, very strong demo and doing everything that you can to make that demo sound almost like it's radio ready. Like you could be the right single right now, you know what I mean? So you're trying to translate that to the record labels and to the artists looking for songs. So I think it's a key factor.
And I've heard via different people in the industry that for choosing the vocalist, you want to find someone who maybe doesn't add too much personality to the song or sounds like another artist, so it's not making it seem only right for one particular artist.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that, but it's a good point. And you know, so if I'm going to answer that question, I agree with that. I think, first of all, I think the people behind the scenes that – I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but the people behind the scenes that are kind of the gatekeepers of, you know, choosing which songs are going to be pitched directly to the artist and stuff, I mean, those guys have a job. Their job is to find the greatest song for those artists and everything. So certainly, who are you to tell them, this song, I wrote it, and it's a Carrie Underwood hit. And you can't, if you're trying to tell somebody that, it's not going to go very well. And also, I think if you go ahead and record a song, for instance, if I went in and sang a demo on a song specifically for George Strait that I wrote and I wanted George Strait to sing it and everything like that, I mean, most of the time, they're doing something else. I mean, it's never what you think, you know, that artist is looking for. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of odd. It's hard to explain, but I'm saying when you think you're getting into someone's head and you think this is the perfect song for you, that artist is probably on a whole other page wanting to do something else altogether. So it's really hard to plan ahead is what I'm saying here. So to do something like that.
No, I totally got what you meant there, that, you know, George Strait may all of a sudden now choose a different, maybe an up-tempo song and something a little edgier than before. And just when you think you're basing it on his last single or something from a previous year. So you got to sort of predict almost or take a chance.
Well, you take a chance. I mean, it just comes down to how good the song is, I think. So I never not pitch a song to somebody because I don't think it's for that artist, because you don't know. I mean, they could hear it a little differently, or they maybe want to go down that road on this particular project. And you know what I'm saying? So give everybody the opportunity. So you strip all of that away and just come down to, is this a really good song? And if it is, then why not play it for everybody?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I'm speaking with Gil Grand on the line from Nashville, and we have his brand new song called Groove coming up in just a little bit. Stay tuned. I wanted to ask you about cover songs, Gil, because two that you do are two of my favorites, the originals and, of course, your version of them. One was a single, Break It to Them Gently, written by Burton Cummings, of course, and people know his version too. There's a video for that, which was very cool. And the other one was on one of your albums, 1972, Conway Twitty, originally. Goes back a little further, Floyd Kramer doing the instrumental version.
Yeah.
But Lost Our Love on Our Last Date. Love that one.
Uh-huh. I love that song too. You know what? The only reason I recorded that song, and no one's ever asked me this question, but I recorded that Conway Floyd Kramer song specifically really just because it made me think of my dad and his passion for just a real great traditional country song. And I love Conway so much. You know, a lot of times when you're a recording artist, you're thinking about your career and you're thinking about, well, will this be a good song for radio, and I have to build a tour around this thing and all that. You strategize and you market something. That song was not for any of that. If I've ever recorded a song for me, or for the reason that I really love this song and it's the only purpose, that's the song that I did that for.
Isn't that great? I love hearing that story because, you know, people get involved in music because they love music, and it's nice to know that you recorded that just for the sake of for your father and because you love that song.
Yeah, for what it is.
Reason.
Just for him. Here's a great old traditional country song, and that's the only reason I did it. And it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, you do a great job on it, by the way. It sounds great. Anybody who hasn't heard your version, of course, can go to iTunes, and all your songs are there, all your albums, and download it. But I love that one. And also, Break It to Them Gently, which I always loved when I would hear on the radio growing up, Burton Cummings' version. You recorded it. And you did a video for it, which I love, too. So you got to do a bit of acting, and you were the fugitive on the run.
Yes. Yes, not my mom's favorite role that I've ever played, that's for sure.
Right.
But, yeah. But it was fun. You know, that was a good time in my career. I mean, those things were happening, you know, kind of happening really good. And that album, that Burnin' CD with Cry a Little and those songs on it and Break It to Them Gently, you know, was a kind of a high moment, I guess, peaking in my career. So it was fun to be able to go and act a little bit and do that video and sing that cover. I mean, that was the only other cover, as you said, that I have. Reason that you mentioned. I mean, it's just a song that I remember hearing, and I just loved Burton Cummings' version of it. I never really revisited that song. It just kind of happened one day when we were just writing and looking to put that project together, and I thought, man, this is not a stretch, you know, for a country music song. I mean, really, because I stayed pretty close to what the original version sounds like.
Yeah.
And I thought it would fit, and, you know, fortunately it did. It did really well for me.
Yeah, it is one of those songs that wasn't a country song to begin with, but lyrically and melodically and all that, it definitely is not a stretch at all to go in that genre. And, I love it in the video. People, again, can go on YouTube, in that case, for the video and check it out and see some of your acting. And it was cool at the beginning. Grand on the Run was the headline, and Country Music News, no longer in publication, but the great Larry Delaney, who did that 30 years or so, that was a cool touch.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, that was obviously, you know, that publication was still going at the time, so I hadn't thought about that till you just mentioned it, that it's no longer there, so it kind of makes it even a little more special now that it's in the video.
For sure, yeah. A great publication for so many years covering Canadian
absolutely.
And the U.S. team. Yeah. I did find this very interesting, and again, it goes back to your country roots and shows how proud of them you are. You had done a show in Phoenix, Arizona, and you were quoted in an interview that I read. One of your proudest moments was sharing the marquee with Merle Haggard and Buck Owens. Now, there's some tradition right there.
Wow, you're really good. You've done your homework. You've pulled out stuff that happened, I mean, a long time ago. I haven't talked about all this stuff in years and years. And in fact, most of your questions, I mean, haven't even ever come up in interviews. So I appreciate that. I mean, that is a great, I mean, think about being a brand new artist, you know, just signed a major record deal on Monument Records. And, you know, your label mates at that time are the Dixie Chicks who are just starting to explode. And I get to do a show, you know, with two of my, I mean, not only mine, but probably anybody who loves country music, their biggest, you know, influences, and Merle Haggard and Buck Owens. It was just a great opportunity, a great experience, and you know, obviously not a common one. I'm sure there are very successful artists that everybody knows who is just, you know, for timing reasons or opportunity, have not even had that opportunity to be on the same show with those two particular artists. So definitely, you know, that will always be the highlight of my career for sure.
Very cool, Gil. We're going to take a little break here for a short message and be right back with lots more with Gil Grand. Plus, stay tuned. We're going to be playing his latest country single called Groove.
In the Country with Dave Woods has been broadcasting live from Ontario, Canada since 2009. Over the years, Dave has welcomed the biggest names and the newest voices of country music on his show. He grew up on country and embraces the past and present and gets excited about the new singers and songs played on the radio every day. Dave has interviewed country stars like Michelle Wright, Gord Bamford, and Carolyn Don Johnson. If you enjoy hearing the stories behind your favorite songs or how a singer got their start, then tune in to In the Country with Dave Woods. He always gets to the heart of country music.
And welcome back. We are here with Gil Grand. He's joining me on the line from Nashville. His song Groove coming up in just a few moments. I wanted to talk to you a bit more about songwriting. It's such a fascinating subject, Gil. But you do a lot of writing with many different artists. But let's talk specifically now about Patricia Conroy and Danik Dupel. What is it like writing with those couple of great writers? Of course, Danik from Emerson Drive.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the benefit of being able to, you know, kind of get together with your Canadian colleagues who happen to live here as well. So it's nice to be able to get with them, you know, because it's just they're here and everything. So it's always a good hang because, you know, we obviously have a lot in common. We've known each other a long time, and it's just getting together with friends, really, you know, having fun. And what better thing to do than to pull out the guitars and just sing together, you know. So I look forward to it every time.
I was talking with an artist recently on the show, Marshall Dane, who said what he learned from Nashville was two things about songwriting. The first is, or I guess the main point he was making, make sure it's a good hang. And you used that word there, that at least you're going to have a good time together, hopefully a great song, but at least you've had a good time trying.
Yeah, can you imagine if it would be like a miserable experience? I mean, you know, it might as well, it's got to be fun. I mean, even if you're gonna write the saddest, most, you know, song and ballad or something like that, I mean, you know, you got to have a good time. You got to get together with people you enjoy and that you collaborate well with. And because, you know why? I mean, a lot of times a song doesn't come out of the meeting. You know, you can't force feed a real good song or anything like that. You know, you get together, and for whatever reason, and this happens all the time, you know, unfortunately, to get onto something that day. Well, at least you had a good time revisiting with a friend and getting to know right. each other and go to lunch or something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I haven't met or spoken with Danik up to this point, but Patricia has been on the show a few times, and I met her at a show she did in Ontario not too long ago, and she's such a great lady, isn't she?
Oh, man, she's awesome. She's fantastic. I mean, always in a great mood. She's got a wonderful personality. She's super talented. Great, one of my favorite female singers. So I can't say enough about Patricia Conroy. She's awesome.
Now, when you have the chance to work with artists, and I assume you do, to maybe produce their albums or produce some cuts, is that something you enjoy, to try to develop the sound of a new artist who's maybe trying to find his or her place in the music business?
Absolutely. You know, I'm definitely doing more and more of that, you know, at this stage in my career, you know, kind of phasing out the artist side, although I will continue to do that as long as I feel I have something to contribute that's, you know, worthwhile and that people might appreciate. So I will do that, but definitely enjoy kind of the production side of things as well, and working with new artists, you know. I mean, I feel like there's something that, you know, can be offered as far as experience and the things that I've learned.
Sure.
Along the way that might help, you know, help a younger artist. And so I'm very happy to share that with them and to just to work with them. And it's exciting. It's like hearing a brand new song that you really, really like. You know, finding an artist that nobody knows that just kind of makes you go, wow, like, wow, what a great, like, where does this person come? What a great talent. Here's something
yeah.
fresh and new.
Yeah.
It's exciting. So that keeps me interested. It keeps me wanting to do it.
That's great. Yeah, I would imagine how exciting that would be to hear somebody that nobody else has heard yet, or not many people, at least in the industry. And, you know, you're discovering this almost and getting a chance to work. Then you have the excitement of waiting for that first product to come out, the first song, and everybody, you know, hopefully jumps on board.
Yeah, or you mess it all up. I don't know. It's one or the other.
Could go either way, right?
Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Is there anybody, Gil, in the industry that you would like to work with, whether it's maybe a producer or even, I like to ask a lot of my guests the duet question, if there's a dream duet partner, but either that or just somebody musician-wise, anyone you've got on that list to work with?
Well, I mean, there's a big difference, I guess, between singing a duet with someone or if there's a musician I like to hang with and record with and stuff like that, or, you know,
yeah.
I would say I've been fortunate along the way in my career as far as, like, I've gotten to work with great producers. You know, like Byron Hill has been producing me, you know, my first CD and got my record deal. And, you know, I got to work with Paul Worley at the time, who was, obviously a phenomenal record producer, but was the VP at Sony. So I've got to meet, and then, you know, like playing those shows with Merle Haggard and Buck Owens, I got to meet a lot of my heroes and stuff. Singing a duet is not something that I've done yet in my career.
Right.
except, I mean, unless you want to count singing on stage, you know, with my brother Jake, you know, once in a while, but I don't consider him an attractive duet partner or anything like that. So,
Jake,
but no,
of course, your brother who's did a bunch of singles and great songs.
Sure. No, you know what? I'll tell you a little story. There is a song on this new CD, and I say new CD as it's still kind of developing. You've heard Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving, and then Your Groove is a new single. But there is a song that I have written and recorded. I actually wrote the song with the Stellas, Brad and Mary Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went in and recorded it, and then I got, and I asked very nicely if Lisa Brokop would sing harmony on this song, because I love, love, love Lisa singing. She's such a good singer, and she did. So although it's not a duet song per se, where we each take our turns and everything, but it's her voice is so, you know her voice. So it's so there. It's just,
yeah.
So it's just a wonderful, I consider it a duet, although it's not, just to hear her sing harmony to my vocal. So that's one thing right there.
That's very cool. We'll look forward to hearing that at some point. I've had Lisa on the show before, and, of course, years before that, listening to her on the radio. And,
a
really special voice. That's really cool. Mm. Let's turn now, Gil, to the brand-new song called Groove. I've had a chance to hear this several times, of course, before we're going to hear it now. And it's a great song, fun, light, radio-friendly, puts you in a good mood, as I mentioned, puts a smile on your face when I responded, giving a comment on the song. What can you tell us about Groove? Now, I know that you wrote this with a Texan singer-songwriter, Adam Fears.
Yes. Yeah, Adam's a real good buddy. I've been writing with him for a number of years now, and he's just himself just kind of starting to emerge as a new artist here in the U.S., and this is very kind of along the lines of something he would do really as an artist, just to give you an example. Remember I said a little earlier, this is a little different for me. So it just shows you when you're writing with someone else, sometimes it'll pull towards one person's influences more than the other. So I would say that Groove, you would think typically would be more of an Adam Fears kind of song. But I did it because it's a fun song to sing. And I was trying to have fun with this song, and so I took the chance on it, and I said, you know what? Buddy, I know we both wrote it, and we might have to arm wrestle to see who's going to sing it. But I went ahead and recorded it before he even knew I did it, so because I knew he would beat me in an arm wrestle. So I went and did it, and that's pretty much it about that song. I think it's just a really fun song, and I kind of pushed myself a little bit, I think, as a singer on this song. I think I really went places that I typically, you know, wouldn't before, and so I'm really proud of it. I really like this tune.
Let's hear it now. It is brand new, a great song from my guest, Gil Grand, and of course you can call your local country stations and request it, because that does make a big difference when they know what the listeners want to hear. This is Gil Grand and Groove on In the Country.
You're turning me on, telling me to turn off of this highway. Pull this truck down a two-lane, ease it on over to a dirt road where we can get close. Find something on the radio, playing nice and slow with a backbeat. Got the bass in the backseat, pumping out a rhythm with a country tune, country tune. I love the way you down, turn the music up loud till you hear it slipping out through the back glass on this crew cab, setting the mood so we can fall into the groove.
And that is brand new music from Gil Grand. It's called Groove, and it is a great song. You can learn more about Gil at gilgrand.com. And, of course, those two songs and all his other songs are on iTunes, so be sure to head there and check them out. Nashville has so many great venues for songwriters to perform the songs, acoustically especially, so people can really focus on the song. Gil, do you have some places within Nashville that you enjoy performing at?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Nashville, if you haven't been, or those even that have been and do know this, I mean, it's such a musical town. It's like, probably like if you go to L.A. and the waiter serving you as an actor, trying to become an actor or something. Nashville is just so
right.
music-oriented. So there's, I mean, there are so many different places that you have the opportunity to showcase your talent and stuff. I mean, I've done songwriters nights, you know, everywhere from, you know, a barbecue restaurant on a stage, which is actually a cool little venue and stuff, and people come to listen to songwriters there, all the way to, you know, the Bluebird Cafe, which, you know, these days is hugely famous. Just, you know, the show Nashville has certainly helped bring mm-hmm. tourists and make aware of the Bluebird. So that's always a great place to play as well. It just sounds so good in there.
Have you had the chance to hear a song that blew you away that later became a hit?
That has happened to me. It wasn't necessarily, it wasn't at a songwriter's thing, but it was actually some friend of mine, Odie Blackman, had asked me to sing the demo for a song he had written called She'll Leave You With a Smile. And I went ahead and I sang that song. And when I sang it, when he played it for me and I sang it, I thought, man, this is such a great song. I just love this song. So it was very cool for me to sing the demo on it and then eventually hear it on the radio with, of course, George Strait singing it. And I think it was his 50th number one hit or something like that, a big, big hit.
Yeah. What a cool story to be that close to that song. That's got to be amazing. And also tied into that, when you're pitched a song, especially when you were putting together your albums in the past and you hear a song that you go, wow, why hasn't anybody else recorded this yet? And this is your opportunity. Have you had that before?
Well, I mean, it does happen, not very often. I mean, those situations, you know, is, I don't know, you probably hope you can write them yourself and everything like that. I mean, I think that's difficult for the simple reason that most of the high-profile songwriters that you know of today, because of that, and because obviously they're talented, so they're successful for a reason, but they write directly with the artist these days. So if they're out writing with Keith Urban or if they're writing with Kenny Chesney and they're writing with, you know, all of the artists directly, it makes it very difficult for anybody else, obviously, who would hear a great song like that and have a chance to cut it. So I don't know if that happens as much as it used to.
Interesting. But it is very cool, as you mentioned, the different venues you go to and hearing the songs. I love hearing songs acoustically, especially when you first heard them produced, and now all that's taken away, all the instruments, it's just the guitar and the vocalist. It really brings a magic to a song.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be that appeal with real fans. You know, I think it's a great opportunity anytime someone can listen to a songwriter sit there and give you their rendition of the song along with the story of where the song came from and hear their version of it. You know, a lot of the songwriters in this town are phenomenal singers. I mean, they can really sing and could very well be artists themselves. So it's cool to be able to hear a different version, you know, a stripped down version of a big hit for sure.
Awesome. Well, Gil, this has been such a great time for me to spend with you, to get to hear these stories and, of course, listen to the two songs we shared on the show, Baby Knows a Lot About Leaving, and your brand-new single called Groove. I hope that does very well for you, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it and know they did.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Look forward to that, Gil. Thank you so much. My guest has been country artist Gil Grand. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.